from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hi, folks, and welcome to My Mayor, Episode 11. For over 20 weeks now, we've been enjoying getting to know the candidates through the My Mayor series, and I hope you've gotten value out of it and had as much fun as I have. This will be the last episode before the primary, but we certainly look forward to having more conversations with the remaining candidates after the primary. I've been thinking about having a guest host for a while. I've got to do it quite a bit, and we thought it'd be fun to give somebody else a chance. And who better to do that than someone who's held the job themselves? And so we were able to get a little time on the books with former Mayor Rick Baker. And so he'll be guest hosting some of the episodes today. And I look forward to those conversations. I know that they'll be, as everything that Mayor Baker does, thoughtful and fun. And I hope you enjoy them. And we'll see you again after the primary.
Hi, I'm Rick Baker. I had the honor of being mayor of St. Petersburg from 2001 to 2010. And I'd like to welcome you to another edition of My Mayor. And today we have Robert Blackman, candidate for mayor of St. Petersburg. Robert's a good friend, and I've seen him in campaign action many times over the years. Great to have you here, Robert. How you doing?
Great to see you, Mayor. Happy to be here. Another wonderful St. Pete day. Hopefully talking about St. Pete, so always a pleasure.
As we used to say, another great day in St. Petersburg.
They're all great.
It is good. You know, how's the campaign going so far? Tell me about the campaign trail.
The campaign is going great. Had a wonderful fundraiser last night. We're less than 2 weeks out from day of the primary. So just trying to stay focused on what's important down the stretch where, you know, the votes matter, the noise doesn't. And, you know, you have an early voting contingent that's already heavily in. So we think that the race is going well, but we want to make sure we get all the votes down the stretch to make sure we don't leave anything on the field.
You know, I used to describe to my wife that a campaign is kind of like walking through the looking glass, and all of a sudden you're in Wonderland, and it's a completely different world. So many things coming at you from different directions. It's a wonderful thing too. So, as you kind of approach the election coming up soon, what would you say are the three things that you would like people to take about Robert Blackman? What are you trying to convey to me? This is who I am. This is why I want to be your mayor.
Well, so first of all, I want to say one other thing that, you know, just you got me thinking about campaigns and kind of centering yourself. You know, even just driving here today, it made me think about the fact of how lucky I am and how lucky, you know, kind of everybody in the area is that we do have accessible leaders who are willing to talk to people who are interested in taking the same position. You know, I'm happy to have you as a friend, happy to be talking with you today, but also, you know, Bob Ulrich, Dick Greco, Bill Foster. It's nice to have people who are still willing to care and reach out and get involved despite, you know, having the torch be passed. So very thankful for that. But three things that I would say, I'll start with one of why I want people to keep in mind moving forward for the election is which candidate has the best track record commensurate with their years in office. So, you know, we have two different kind of tiers of candidates in this race. You have some that are complete outsiders with no political experience, and you have some as high as, you know, 22 years ago, I believe, they were originally elected to office. And I think that there's strengths and weaknesses, obviously, to both. But I'm kind of straddling the line between the two. You know, I've been in elected office. This is my second year as a city council person. But I also have a strong business background from the private sector. And I want people to look at, you know, how the records stack up against my competitors. I have had a number of successes in a very short period of time. Bringing the Science Center back and getting federal and state funding has been one big priority for me and big goal. But also leading the way on stuff such as environmentalism. I fought in the budget, and we gained a lakes management department, which we've never previously had in the city. Also, affordable housing. A lot of people talk about it. I've led the way to try and push bills all the way to the state level to get funding for that. So there have been a number of different issues where I've worked hard at, where I've actually fought to get tangible results. A fire station, a new fire station that's desperately needed in my district. I fought back against administration, despite their protest, to get funding for land acquisition and to rally council around a cause. So you have to look at, you know, the kind of proportion of how many years there were versus how many results you've gotten. And also, are the other candidates, were they leaders or were they complicit and along for the ride of momentum that was already happening? So, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I was a part of a different change that was made or a different cause on a council or a commission. But were they the leader or were they just there when it happened? And do they have enough hits, so to speak, for their time in office? And I think mine stacks up very favorably.
You know, Robert, you're a young guy, and some people say that's good. Some people say, well, I'd rather have somebody more experienced. But you've had really remarkable success in the business world in the time that you've been in real estate. How do you think that plays into the ability to serve as mayor, to lead the city?
Well, you know, when you talk about business experience, first of all, I've done well, but it's because of St. Pete, not because I'm some genius. And that's the thing, is our trajectory has been straight up since I've been in business. You know, just because of my age, I'm 32. You know, I've only really been doing business, you know, full-time in St. Pete for a little over a decade. And then before that, when I was in college. And St. Pete's trajectory has been straight up. So it's been hard not to be successful because of you know, the work of you and other leaders in the past. But, you know, I always compare city government and municipal government, especially in St. Pete, is very analogous to a private business. The mayor is the CEO, the city council is the board of directors, and all the citizens are the shareholders. And we need to look at things with more of a business mindset, because if you had annual reports like they do in the private sector, there would be a lot of disgruntled shareholders and they would demand a change. So that's kind of how I view, you know, city government.
So your first item was kind of compare the amount of time in office to the accomplishments. Tell me another item that you'd like people to remember as they're considering whether or not to vote for you.
So one thing I touched on in the first point was the Science Center, right? And I said that I brought together people from different levels of government to start getting the ball rolling on that project. I think what people need to look at is who is best equipped of the candidates to work with county, state, and federal government to make change. And I think I'm that candidate. You know, if you look at the Science Center project, I brought together a wide range of organizations and individuals that typically don't have anything to do with each other. You know, the Sierra Club wrote a letter of support. Linda Cheney, a freshman Republican state legislator, I had bring about an appropriation request with Daryl Roussan, a Democratic state senator. Charlie Crist, a Democratic U.S. congressman, filed the federal appropriation. So who is best equipped to go out and cheerlead for St. Pete and put their ego aside to get results? You know, all the time I see, unfortunately, different elected officials. I saw Mayor Christman getting into it with, you know, Governor DeSantis the other day. And you have to build bridges with Tallahassee. You can't just throw stones and constantly try and fight with people because, you know, at the end of the day, you're local government and they have a much bigger stick and a much bigger budget. And there can be repercussions. So I think I'm a bridge builder. I'm happy to have a bunch of support at the state level. And, you know, look no further than last year during the pandemic. There was a lot of confusion regarding shutdowns and mandates. And, you know, the mayor couldn't get answers from Tallahassee about rules and regulations because he had basically been frozen out. People in City Hall went to me to have me use my connections to get answers. Another great example, Central Cigars, the cigar bar downtown. They were shut down by our police, by the mayor's order, from serving alcohol. And the owner made the argument to me. He said, he called me. I didn't even know him. I'd never met him. He said, hey, I really think I should be able to serve alcohol here. I'm a predominantly retail store. I use my connections to get in touch with Tallahassee and get a statement written that said Central Cigars should be open as a business to sell alcohol during the pandemic. That kind of leadership and connections are invaluable, and we cannot cast that aside. We need to build bridges, not burn them.
So why did you choose the Science Center on the West Side as something for you really? What's the importance of that for that community, for the whole city, or for the West Side? Why did you choose the Science Center to jump into and help?
Well, first of all, it's in my district, District 1. But I went there as a child, and it all comes back to what we touched on the first question of, you know, my view of governance. It just was a good business deal. We bought the site for $3.2 million with plans to expand our wastewater treatment plant into the rear of the property. we have enough room to do that without tearing down the building. I was able to get $3.5 million from the state and federal government so far, not including private donations, which I have lined up for hundreds of thousands, to renovate the property. So essentially, I've gotten $4 million to renovate a property that we paid $3.2 million for the entire thing. And we're using the back for wastewater expansion. You know, a lot of times we don't make good deals in government. This is a good deal for the taxpayers, but also it's meaningful to our students. You know, when I got started on this project, we didn't have a pandemic. We didn't have the worst red tide in recent memory. And it just goes to show that science is omnipresent and is the way out of a lot of these problems that we have. So it's meaningful. It's a good deal for the taxpayers and it'll beautify the neighborhood. So, you know, you got to fight for what's right.
So, okay. So there's two, you talked about comparing your time in office to what you've done in the Science Center and some of the other projects. What's a third item that as this election's coming up, you want people to be thinking about, Robert?
Well, you know, I want people to think about the platforms you're seeing from the candidates. Who is saying tangible ideas and tangible plans, and who is kind of just speaking in generalities about, you know, concepts and themes? You know, the best ideas are ones that have, you know, an innovative thought, but also grounded in reality. I think I've brought a lot of innovative thinking to the table. You know, we go to these debates and it's tough, right? Because there's eight candidates right now and you can't just give everybody a bunch of time to get into the weeds. And that's why I'm excited to hopefully make it to the next round and be in the top two come August 24th. But, you know, a lot of times I feel like even some of the leading candidates, there's a lot left to be desired. You know, I hear things like intentional leadership and we need to be thoughtful in what we do. We do, but what are those thoughts? What are those intentions? And, you know, love them or hate them, I've put the most on the table of anyone. You know, I have a business career that I'm proud of, but when you have a track record, you can always have people scrutinize it. I also have put forward ideas. People love some ideas. People aren't so crazy about other ideas. You know, you, Mayor Baker, have mixed feelings about one of my big plans to move municipal services to Tangerine Plaza. And that's all right. We can talk about it. But the point is, I have plans that I am putting on the table every day. A lot of the other candidates, I haven't heard any real concrete plans other than I'm going to have the community be involved. This is going to be a community effort. We're going to bring everybody together. And we need real thought-provoking ideas. And that's one thing I really think that I bring is I have ideas and I have been pushing the needle my entire time on council. And that's exactly why I'm running for mayor, so that I can take these ideas and leadership to the next level, so I can fight for things like a lakes management department. We're getting one lakes manager right now. I want to have a whole department, especially now with red tide. I want to expand it to our entire environment. I have a plan to have oyster gardens offered at every single waterfront home in our city, just like we offer rain barrels right now to improve our water quality. I have been fighting for public safety with fire stations. I have been fighting for science. I have been fighting for municipal services and economic growth for Midtown. I have been fighting to keep our public marina public despite heavy efforts for privatization. I have been the leader on that. And it's easy for other candidates sometimes when you're just around or you're not taking the hits to say, well, I did that after the smoke is cleared. But I've been the one firing the gun. That's where the smoke's coming from. I've been the one leading.
Robert Blackman, candidate for mayor, thank you for coming. Good luck on election day as you go forward. And I want to thank you all for watching My Mayor.
Hi, folks, and welcome to My Mayor, Episode 11. For over 20 weeks now, we've been enjoying getting to know the candidates through the My Mayor series, and I hope you've gotten value out of it and had as much fun as I have. This will be the last episode before the primary, but we certainly look forward to having more conversations with the remaining candidates after the primary. I've been thinking about having a guest host for a while. I've got to do it quite a bit, and we thought it'd be fun to give somebody else a chance. And who better to do that than someone who's held the job themselves? And so we were able to get a little time on the books with former Mayor Rick Baker. And so he'll be guest hosting some of the episodes today. And I look forward to those conversations. I know that they'll be, as everything that Mayor Baker does, thoughtful and fun. And I hope you enjoy them. And we'll see you again after the primary.
Hello and welcome to My Mayor. My name is Rick Baker. I had the honor of being mayor of St. Petersburg from the years 2001 through 2010. And today I have the honor of interviewing many candidates for mayor of St. Petersburg. We have a great group of people that have kind of decided to sign up and join the fray and hope to become mayor of St. Petersburg. Today we are meeting with Tori Nelson. Tori is a young man I've had a chance to talk to before, and I've enjoyed watching him jump into this race and the way that he's handled the race and his involvement in it. Welcome, Tori.
Thanks for having me, Mayor Baker. How you doing?
I am doing great. We have a the way we're interviewing the candidates, we try to roughly ask them the same thing in order to be fair to everybody, and then do some follow up questions, and I get to kind of do my own thing on the follow up questions, which is my favorite part because I kind of like do my own thing. So the three questions are all the same, and then the good news is you get to decide what the questions are. So what I'm going to ask you is to pick three things that you believe that you want to get across to the voters. You know, we're closing on election day now. People are voting today. So what are three things about you, about your platform, about what you believe in, about why you would be a great mayor of St. Petersburg, that as you're reaching out and talking to the voters, you want them to know so that they'll vote for you? They may be sitting at home watching this with their ballot sitting next to them thinking, okay, if he says the right thing, I'm voting for him. What are going to be those three things? So, and I'm going to ask you to say them one at a time. And then after you say them, then I'm going to do some follow-up with them, okay? Actually, before I do that, I've jumped the gun. Before you do that, you can keep that in your mind.
Okay, keep that.
Tell me how the campaign's been going. How have you enjoyed it so far? How are you? What have you learned along the way? We shared a little bit about this, but before we got on the air, so why don't you tell me a little bit how you feel the campaign's been going?
Wow, it's been going great. You know, I've been enjoying it. Thanks to your book, it's helped me along the way. As a part in the book, you said when the campaign was over, one election, you had physically drained you. And when I started out, I was going full speed. It's a marathon. I was running sprints. And just recently, like the last couple of days, I had to slow down and catch up on my rest. So I was like, whoa, I'm going a little too hard. My voice is changing. Like, got bags under my eyes. I'm losing weight. So I was like, you know
what? You're starting to look like me now.
Yeah, a couple people said, you're going to have gray hair when this over with. So I'm kind of pacing myself, but it's getting in the home stretch now. So I'm trying to pick up the speed again. I'm trying to pick up the pace, but you know, I'm having fun with it, you know, and the most thing I like about it that the people are embracing me. You know, you're in this position, I didn't know the responsibility. So I guess I'm in it to stay now. I put myself in this position. Now I'm forced.
You are officially a public figure now. Congratulations. Yeah,
so it's great. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It makes me feel so good, you know, when people come up to you, embrace you, and I just, you know, I'm in it to win it, in it to stay, you know, in it for the long haul.
So Tori's referring to my book, Turn Around, Seamless City, and I like Tori in this campaign because he's been carrying my book everywhere he goes, and so we have people are contacting me back, and he's putting it in front of other candidates and telling them they ought to read it too, and I think most of them have, but not all of them, at least if... What I'm hearing from them, I don't think they've read it because they're not saying the right things. But I've enjoyed that piece of it, of course, as well as the fact that you are so serious about wanting to serve that you're willing to study and you're willing to learn and you want that as part of your process. You know, you talk about how exhausting it is. It was exhausting. What I think I also said in the book is that I was so drained by the end of that campaign. But back then, it was before we changed the charter, you got elected on a Tuesday and you were sworn in Sunday. So you had 4 days to prepare to get ready to go run a city. And so I could barely walk. I was so drained at the end of it. And then I had to get back up and say, okay, you're in charge Sunday, so you better get going.
Right,
so
back at it.
It was quite a transition in my life, but it turned out to be a great one. So, well, thank you for that. Sounds like you've been learning a lot and doing a lot. So congratulations. Now let's go back to the question that I was supposed to wait for, but I kind of jumped the gun on. So the three things that you would like to convey to people, that you'd like people to know about you or your campaign or your platform, that will convince them to vote for you? So start with the first one.
This is this is going to be a tough question for me because it's a whole lot of things, in my opinion. I'm not trying to stroke my own ego, but if I would say number one thing would be integrity, I'm honest. To me, I work for the citizens. I'm a citizen first. And when people come up to me and, you know, embrace me in the city, I feel like I owe them a responsibility. So I'm going to be honest, totally honest. I can't be bought. Money to me is really not important. I mean, I get a bigger kick out of service, you know, like a purpose. Like if I can see a change, if I can see the vision come through, that's more than money can buy to me. And helping people and, you know, just when people embrace you, that's more than anything.
So what kind of, and this is a follow-up, but we'll get to your second point in a minute or two. Mm-hmm. What do you see you would like to accomplish for the city, for the people that are watching the show, for the city of St. Petersburg? What is it that you would like to use your servanthood to make people's lives better? How would you do that?
Wow. Well, it's a whole lot. When I've been diving into this campaign, it's a lot of stuff that we really have to improve. We've been expanding very, very well. I like our progress that Mayor Christman has done. It's beautiful. It's a very beautiful city right now. I mean, I see all the high-rises going up. But, you know, one thing, I want to make sure our native residents can still afford to stay here. And not only have I been researching your book, I've been researching also other cities, because I read in your book, you got to kind of reach out and
that's right.
And kind of see what other cities doing. You know, it might not all apply, like you said in your book. It might not apply to your city. But I'm looking at states like California, and they have a big explosion of expansion. And a lot of their residents are migrating to Texas. And, you know, I want our residents to be able to stay here. You know, that's one of my things. I want it to be affordability for everyone.
And in your reading and studying that you've been doing, Tori, what are there any specific programs for affordable housing that you think would work here that other people are doing?
Yeah. Well, just for looking at the local local plan the city has, they want to implement 2,400 multifamily houses. So they want to implement 2,400. I think it needs to be a little bit more than that to kind of curb the crisis that we're having right now with affordability. I met with the tenants union, and they were saying for the whole Pinellas County, we need about 34,000. And also I met with the homeless director, Teresa Jones. So we also need permanent housing for to mental disabled. So I'm thinking we need more than 2,400. So I think we need to increase that number to at least 15,000. And my plan would be is to look at some city-owned land and see if we could implement that. And also, I want to stay ahead of the curve. I was thinking we do contemporary townhomes and we build up, we stay ahead of the curve. We don't take away from our residents' investments, that our homeowners. And we can build some affordable houses for our working class that will last the test of time, say 20 years down the line, it still looks great. It doesn't take away from the investment, doesn't bring the property value down. I think that'd be good. And then we can have a nice balance.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on to your second point. What would be the second point you'd like to convey to the folks? And I think they got their pen in their pencil in their hand right now, Tori. So they're about to scratch on the ballot.
Yeah, don't scratch.
So you got a shot here. What would be the second thing that you want to make sure they understand as they're making that decision?
Violence.
Well, public safety, it sounds like you're interested in, you know, and I guess you're probably going to tee off the fact, as I understand it, the murder rate is like five times what it was my last year of office in 2009. It's a serious issue in the city. What do you have some solutions for that?
Yeah, I do have some solutions. Right now, it's a killer on the loose right now. I was tempted to try to reach out to him. I was trying to find him myself. Because to me, he's a serial killer. I heard he not only killed one person, he killed a couple other people that law enforcement haven't been able to pin it on him. So in my opinion, that's the worst kind of person. You know, I just can't condone that kind of stuff. And that would be my main concern. To curb that, I would like to, you know, give our community hope. Give them pride, something they can take pride in their community. build our communities up, build strong neighborhoods, help our parents raise the children. One of my main platform points is after-school magnet programs. A lot of kids want, you know, they just think of sports and rapping, just being a rapper. It's more to it than that. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, it's many fields. You can be some kids see me out there passing out my literature, and they be like, hey, you're a rapper? And some of the store clerks are correct. I'm like, no, he's running for mayor. And they take a look at me, take a second look, and I was like, okay, maybe, you know, I can, you know, broaden the horizon a little bit. There's more out there than just, you know, what you see on TV or what you see every day. You know, it's a bigger world out there. You know, it's a better quality of life if you, you know, get an education. So the literacy level, I want to bring that up in our community. Overall literacy level, it has to come up. My business that I did before I did homeless shelter, I had a document processing before I got into running this race. Still do a little bit of it. So just basic stuff like computer literacy, I'm like, I got a line around the corner at my house, and just to help them with their unemployment claims. And it's just simple click of the button. Yes, no, 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 yes, no, no, yes, submit. So that has to change. I think if our literacy level increases, because that would help me. I had a better quality of life from education, and I gravitated to football. And oh, I heard you play a little basketball, too.
I did play a little basketball.
Yeah, so, you know, we give them something that, you know, they could engage in, and something to look forward to. I think we can deter them, and, you know, and also we have to reiterate the laws. I don't know if we got to broadcast them on commercials. So some of the kids might not know the consequences. We got to, like, brainwash into their head, like, hey, anger management, you know, 1 second can be a lifetime of pain.
That's exactly right.
Just 1 second, you just flip off, you know, and I'm still learning this. I talked to a guy at a store. I went into campaign. And it's an old store owner that's been around for a long time. I went into campaign, and I was hoping he'd be out of there in 5 seconds, and I ended up in there 2 hours. I was like, whoa, I missed the whole rest of the day. But I got so much good information just listening to the people, and he was telling me you got to hold your tongue, especially as a mayor. You want to be a mayor in this position, you got to be able to hold your tongue, you know, and you can't get mad about nothing. So one thing I like to add, I'll be very humble. I won't take nothing personal. And just humble. I'm learning. If I'm being in this position, I'm going to be humble and hold my tongue.
Well, it's hard to get better than that. That's a good thing. We're talking about, I think what you're saying is so correct, that crime is more than just law enforcement. That crime is taking folks that may not feel that they have a hope for the future and trying to figure out how to help them, make them have a hope for the future. And that's, education is a big part of that, as you said. Yeah, I also believe, I just plant a seed, that apprenticeship programs, there are a lot of folks, you know, there's a lot of great jobs in construction, in auto mechanics, and, you know, where you can get certifications. My son-in-law is a diesel mechanic, making a very nice living right now, a certified diesel mechanic. There are a lot of, in the crafts and the skilled craftsmen that you can get into, and trying to get some of the folks that don't really feel that they have a path, young people, that they don't feel they have a path, into a path like that, so that they do have a path, and so they're not going to turn in the way we don't want them to turn. I think what you're saying is correct. Are there any specific ideas you have along those lines of how we could take some of these folks and get them into jobs, or get them into training, or get them into education? How would we do that?
Specifics? Well, I know I would tirelessly research and research and getting more jobs here, bringing and attracting corporations here, major corporations, good jobs. And I think we have to do a better job of government operations. We have to make it, I think I said this in a forum a while back, we got to make the customer service like Chick-fil-A, like pleasurable. When we come here to do business, right. It can't be so tedious that you're pulling your hair out. You can't, the permitting process and you... Yeah, it has to be a more smoother process, I think. If we can give them some kind of incentives, some kind of land breaks.
And, you know, I think that the truth is we have a tremendous amount of jobs that people are not filling because some of our young folks don't have the skills to take the jobs. And getting the skills to the young people to take the jobs that already exist, and there are a ton of them, I think has got to be part of it as well. I'm not the candidate today, but I just thought I'd throw that in. So.
Okay, I'm all ears.
So if we can kind of flip to get to the third point that you would like to impress upon the people watching this as to why Tory Nelson is the candidate for them.
Well, I'm a citizen first. I'm still in the community. Like, I'm walking with the citizens every day. I mean, how can you fix a problem if you never lived it? You know, how can you fight crime if you don't know criminals? I still know the people in the neighborhood, and I still talk to them. And some people that's actively still in the underworld, the dark world, probably selling drugs. And I talk to them, and they want to do something with apprenticeship. They want to have a job. Like, they're actively looking for jobs, even though they're doing illegal activities. They still have some deep down in their heart. They want to work. They want to do something positive. So I see this every day. I'm a citizen, and I'm a citizen first. I don't know how much more to say it for everyone, not just one person. I'm for all. I think if we all work together, we find a way to work together with our city, I think the sky's the limit.
You know, you talk about working together and being one together. There's been a lot of, just about every mayoral candidate. We've not talked to all but one. I've not talked to all but one. All the ones that we've talked to have indicated the desire to get away from the partisanship and away from the kind of the divide that we have nationally, and we seem to have locally in the city government right now too, in terms of us versus them type mentality. And you kind of referred to being one together and all together. How would you try to address that in the city? How would you try to become the mayor that would do that, that would work with everybody?
Yeah, I think I am the perfect person, because I think I can break down the barriers. I get along with everyone. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to travel to a whole lot of states. I never traveled out the country, but I traveled to a lot of states. I met a lot of different people, and I believe I can break through with anyone, you know, and I think I can bridge the gap. I have plans to bridge the gap for the police department. I want to bring a PAL police football team. I want to bring a youth football team. I think that'll open up dialogue for parents and neighborhood, kids. If they see the officers where they're coaches, it'll open up dialogue. I think that'll bridge the gap, so it's not so much that the community is so scared of the officers, because that's one of the main things. The community is just terrified of the police. I mean, you can be riding the car and someone would be like, oh, that's the police. Oh, da, 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 da. Like, there's no reason to be scared. You're not doing anything. Like, so I want to break down that barrier so it's not such that barrier. And also in the community, I feel I can be the one that can bridge the gap. I can bridge the gap for all of us, and we can just, you know, just find a way.
Well, Tory Nelson, candidate for mayor of St. Petersburg, I want to thank you for giving us the time today, and thank you for jumping into the race with both feet, I think.
Yeah.
Mostly, I want to thank you for reading my book and for telling everybody about it all the time. That's been appreciated as well.
Yeah.
But especially, thank you for taking the time today and sharing some of your thoughts with the folks in St. Pete. That's what government's all about. That's what the democracy is all about, is letting people know what you think, and then they decide who they want to vote for. So I appreciate that a lot. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you. It was my honor.
All right. And this is Rick Baker, and thank you for watching My Mayor, and I hope you have a great day.
From stpcatalyst.com.